Thanks all very much for attending. We're here to attend a briefing on the call to action on sanitation. For this, we have four speakers who will talk to you at the start and then take some questions. First, you'll hear from the Deputy Secretary General, Jan Eliasson. After that, Ambassador Csaba Kurucsi, the permanent representative of Hungary to the United Nations, who is seated directly to the Deputy Secretary General's left. After that, the Deputy Executive Director of UNICEF, Martin Mongwanja, who is here at my left. And then at the far left of the table, you have Kate Norgrove, the head of campaigns for WaterAid. I'll now turn the floor over to the Deputy Secretary General.
Thank you very much. Welcome to this launch of a global call to action on sanitation. This we do on the eve of World Water Day, which is tomorrow, which also will be marked by a thematic debate in the General Assembly. I want to tell you that my engagement with water goes back many, many years. I was emergency relief coordinator, and I saw the effects of lack of water and sanitation in the world. And when I was president of the General Assembly, I lifted my glass once and said at that time, which was 2005 in the fall, that at that time almost a billion people in the world did not have fresh, clean water, safe water. And today I say the figure today is somewhere around 780 million people. So there has been some progress in terms of water. But the other figure that I knew at that time, which is still almost the same, is 2.2.5 billion people who do not have sanitation, which is a euphemism for toilets. 37% of humanity, indeed. And if you add the effects of 783 million people not having safe water and 2.5 billion people not having sanitation, well, that adds up to horrors in realities out there, and I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen children dying in front of my own eyes, in diarrheas, in dysentery, in dehydration, in cholera. And it's 3,000 children, approximately, under the age of 5, dying every day. So here's a silent disaster which needs to have attention. And the reason why it has to have special attention is that this goal of the MDGs, the goal number 7, is the most lagging of all goals. And the Secretary General wants very much now, when we approach 1,000 days left of the period of the MDG achievement, starting, as you know, in September 2000 and ending by the end of 2015. There are 1,000 days left around the 5th of April. And this is the beginning of an acceleration of the work on the Millennium Development Goals. In order to establish credibility for the road ahead on the post-2015 process, we need to show that we want to and that we can accelerate achievement of the MDGs. And then we have chosen today to pre-launch the MDG drive by launching the one goal that is most lagging. When I introduced the word toilets in a speech of the United Nations back in 2010, when I was MDG advocate and was serving as chair of WaterAid Sweden, there was a little bit of murmuring in the hall. I finished the speech on the word toilets. It was not very common in the UN. The words that I will now speak more and more often and pronounce very much open now is the problem of open defecation. Open defecation is a fact of life for 1.1 billion people in the world who go out in the open. And by that, of course, first of all, can you imagine the lack of dignity around this act, the risks of being raped if you're a woman or a girl going out at night, but also the health risks for both personal health and, of course, for the environment. And this is, of course, a very clear sign of the extreme poverty that still exists, the huge inequalities in the world. One person out of 4 of the least developed countries is practicing open defecation. So we also now have, in this campaign, which is starting, the goal of ending open defecation by 2025. And there are about 20 countries, more than around 22 countries now, where this is widely practiced. We are not, by this campaign, doing any organizational changes or creating new institutions. We simply want to energize and increase awareness and, of course, action on the agenda of sanitation. And that's why I'm mobilizing, on behalf of the Secretary General, the whole UN system, which is working under the banner of UN Water. Now it's chaired by the head of the International Meteorological Organization, Monsieur Jarreau, but it's a circulating membership. And here we have, for instance, UNICEF, which has a tremendously important role in this area. I can see you have a prop at your side here, which you probably will demonstrate soon, playing a very important role. But I'm also extremely proud and happy to have a dear friend and colleague at my side, the ambassador of Hungary, Csaba Körösi, who is knowledgeable, and extremely knowledgeable about water, but also on behalf of his country, really pushing the water agenda. And he is one of the driving forces in the group of Friends of Water in the membership of the United Nations. So knowing that we have the member states on our side for the water and sanitation work is an extremely great advantage for us when we now start this campaign. And that we also know that we have the private sector on board. We know the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and others are involved. But we also have the NGO community and the important organizations that exist, and which I know from the inside, and I just mentioned it earlier, namely the WaterAid, which does, in my view, an extremely good job. And I'm very happy now to hand over the floor to my colleagues. I will ask first Csaba to give your brief comments, and then if I'd ask you, Martin, and then if you would, Kate, end this panel presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed. And first and foremost, I would like to commend Julian for your engagement and commitment to the implementation of the MDGs, and particularly of the MDG number 7. We thank you very much for energizing this process. Obviously, here we are talking about two layers or two senses of the MDG 7 sanitation. The most direct and most understandable is what the Deputy Secretary General has mentioned. The huge challenge of the open defecation, which comes in the form of public health, in the form of the hygiene, and it's a huge challenge to dignity, to human dignity. However, it comes to the umbrella of understanding sustainability as well. Because it is not only a rural problem. By 2020, 65% of the world population is going to live in urban settlements. If we cannot fix this problem very urgently, it will be just an accumulation of risk factors to the tremendous level, both in terms of public hygiene, in terms of well-being of societies and communities. So it comes together with the wastewater management, which is lacking way behind of the target date. Both the toilet and wastewater management issue, as it goes today, the MDG can be completed by 2075. Instead of 2015. Mm. This is not something what we can accept. It requires determination, requires modified priorities, changing some of the attitudes, and this is the essence of sustainability. Thank you much.
Thank you. Martin?
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Secretary General, for your leadership on this issue. UNICEF and indeed the entire UN system supports this call to action to finally eliminate open defecation. We are redoubling our efforts on sanitation, not only because sanitation is one of the MDG targets, as you said, that's furthest behind, but because it's fundamental to health, and especially to children's health. Today, diarrhea will, and other waterborne diseases will kill nearly 3,000 children. And tomorrow, they'll kill another 3,000. In fact, diarrhea is the second largest killer of children under 5 in the developing world. And this is caused largely by poor sanitation and inadequate hygiene. This need not be so. We can reduce cases of diarrhea in children under 5 by a third, simply by expanding the access of communities to sanitation and eliminating open defecation. And this would have a knock-on effect of reducing the number of children who suffer from stunting, a terrible condition which can irreversibly damage a child's physical and cognitive development. But this is also an issue of equity. It's no surprise that the world's poorest communities are those who have inadequate or even no access to sanitation. It's simple common sense to focus our efforts more on reaching those most disadvantaged communities. Now, as working in Pakistan, I witnessed personally the impact of open defecation in both development and humanitarian contexts. We developed, together working with NGOs and government partners, a total sanitation project in the flood-affected areas. And I'm happy to report, in less than 2 years, over 6 million people gained access to toilets and are now living in open, defecation-free communities. But the effort succeeded not by building latrines. It succeeded by getting people to recognize and to talk about the problem. This is the way the Deputy Secretary General is leading us. The private sector also played an important part in this transformation by engaging in sanitation marketing activities and developing a supply chain which ensured that people had access to the right products in the right place at the right time. And it worked. Children are visibly healthier, fewer dying, and today we are happy to report that through the direct support of UNICEF and its partners, over 25 million people in over 44,000 communities now live in open defecation-free environments. This can also improve the safety of women and girls who are often targeted when they are alone outdoors. And providing safe and private toilets may also help girls to stay in school, which we know can increase their future earnings and help break the cycle of poverty. So we know what can be done, and we know how it must be done. We know that if we work together and redouble our efforts, we can end defecation and ensure that our children and children of future generations can thrive and grow in clean and safe environments. UNICEF inter alia supports the World Toilet Day with other NGO partners in increasing awareness about the importance of toilets through measures such as this one. I thank you again for your leadership, Mr. Deputy Secretary General. UNICEF and our sister UN agencies, funds and programs are proud to be part of this effort. We look forward to partnering with governments, civil society and the private sector to achieve the bold ambition of eliminating open defecation by 2025. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin. Kate Norgrove, Head of Campaigns, World Trade.
Thank you, Deputy Secretary General. So I'd like you all to imagine you were sitting here desperate to go to the toilet, absolutely desperate, and yet there's nowhere to go at all. Where do you think you'd go? Down to the edge of the Hudson? Onto Second Avenue in a little alleyway somewhere? Now remember that this is the daily reality for over 1 billion people on this planet. That's incredible. WaterAid believes that access to sanitation is not only a fundamental right, just like the UN does, but it's also a key factor in improving child health, education, and gender equality, as the others have said. It seems obvious when you think about it, doesn't it? Sanitation is a driver of development, not just an outcome of it. I used to work as a teacher in a rural village in Nepal. There was one toilet for the whole school, a little broken-down shack that sat directly above the school playground in full visibility of everyone around. I'd avoid using that toilet if I could help it. And I remember very clearly how the girls I taught would gradually start to drop out of school as they reached puberty. Now contrast that to Luke, a man I met in Madagascar just last year. Luke has polio, and the day I met him and his community had just built the first toilet that he could actually use sitting down. And watching that and the pride on his face was overwhelming for me. Many countries have made huge leaps in human development since the MDGs were agreed. And yet there's a long way to go. We can get there faster by focusing on sanitation. We gladly welcome the Deputy Secretary General's call to action on sanitation. further progress on sanitation is just the first step in meeting what WaterAid think for the first time is actually possible, to see everyone everywhere getting access to sanitation and water by 2030. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
As you ask a question, if you could indicate to whom that question is directed, please. Yes, Ms.
Yes, on behalf of United Nations Correspondents Association, thank you for this press conference. My name is Masood Haider. I represent Daily Dawn of Pakistan. And I am aware of this facility, firsthand. Of this problem firsthand, because I see that whenever there is an occasion where it happens, open defecation, it's near a river or a riverbed. Mm-hmm. As we all know. But the biggest thing is that there is lack of water. Water is not available, especially in the big cities. It is becoming scarcer and scarcer. And how do you resolve the... And the people are not educated enough to know that this is a problem and how they should end up cleaning themselves. People rub themselves against the earth and so forth. So all those things have to be taken into account. The governments have to undertake, I believe. Do you think that the United Nations and other organizations can fund programs which will at least educate the people? And that's not happening.
Well, I'll give it a short try. This call to action is a call to all different actors. The international organizations can send this signal. The agencies, the programs, the funds can do what they can. The member states, of course, will have to take the responsibility, and then it's the local communities. There has to be a mobilization on so many levels. The formula that we, the area that we in this type of work have, the formula we have is we call it WASH, water and sanitation and hygiene. These three aspects are related. And we need to have progress both on the water quality, water waste, water management, and waste, of course, but also on sanitation, with a special emphasis now on the problems of defecation, and then hygiene, of course. Then, of course, you point to something very important, the growing lack of water. So we probably need to work much more in the direction of moving this to a process of circulation, of getting fertilizer in the end, so that we also we cannot build on the classic system of pushing, getting 8 liters of water going to deal with this. Any other comments from you here? These are my spontaneous remarks on this.
Well, the good news is that there is a...
Paper is not available there in any case.
Paper, though.
I've seen a lot of papers, actually. The good news is that there is a huge number of civil organizations, UN system members and member states who have been working on a scientific basis to put together what should be done. And this is the so-called WASH community, what the Deputy Secretary General has referred to. If you look at the potential future SDGs, basically this water and WASH agenda is the most elaborated one. So it is not forgotten. We need action now.
Neil McClark from the New York Times. I have two questions. One, I'm going to toss to the Undersecretary General first, but anyone else, feel free to chime in. You said it's the most lagging of them all. Is there any analysis as to why it's the most lagging? And does it have anything to do with, you seem to indicate there was certain squeamishness about talking about toilets in public, mm-hmm. or at least there was in your initial attempt. Does that have anything to do with the reason it's lagging? And I just want to ask the gentleman from UNICEF about his prop. He didn't really explain it. And are those being distributed, or is that a one-off? And that's my two questions. Thank
you. Why did you ask the first? Do you have a text on it?
Okay.
You can answer first, then I'll come back.
Okay. This was produced to promote World Toilet Day. And on it, it has a series of messages, and we're distributing this to decision makers and so on. So we can pass around and everybody can have a sheet and you can have you can have the message from it. Okay? Just don't use it. That's what I was saying. The toilet paper, not the message you carry. May I also just briefly answer my friend and colleague from Pakistan? There is also appropriate technology. There's a lot of development of appropriate technology and the development of very low-cost, what we call dry latrines, which do not require flush water and so on. They're not the perfect latrine, but they can have the impact of preventing the spread of disease. And these are the kind of technologies that we're promoting in which are very affordable to these low-income communities. Thank you.
On your question, Neil, on why this goal is lagging, I am astonished that it is so lagging. And there is an element of taboo around toilets and open defecation. It was considered more or less in the private sphere, and people have difficulty talking about it. Also, the girls in Africa, that are staying behind for many reasons. Sometimes they stay behind to take care of their own diarrheas or dysenteries, but also the girls take care of, and the women take care of the children who are sick. And of course, they are hesitating to go to school when they menstruate. That was what you hinted at, wasn't it, Kate? So there is this taboo and this sort of sense that you don't speak about that. So that's the taboo we want to break, of course. This is a real problem, and it's a real problem for those who are in that 1.1 billion category. But then there are also other aspects. I have dealt with this many, many years, ever since I was emergency relief coordinator. And actually, now looking back at this, I think it's not easier, but less complicated to handle in rural communities. But there you can go through with a purification action, you can have drilling of wells, you can have a little education in the schools. What I think is a growing problem is what Shaba was pointing out, that we have 60-65% of the world population moving into urban areas, and it's usually poor people that move into poor countries, larger urban communities. And what they create is, of course, big slums outside the cities. And then it's an extremely difficult process to create an infrastructure where you also do not have yet the technical solutions. You cannot have a huge water-based system, and we're still not ready for the fertilization processes. And if you go to many of these countries, and I've been exactly in those situations, they have no municipality tax. So you cannot have big investments in the collective efforts that are needed for such situation. And even in some cases, I heard, we don't even know who owns the land out there where the slums are being established. So there are many structural problems that come up from particularly the urbanization trend. And that's why it's so important now that we deal with the problems that can occur in great accumulation and concentration of people, because we have a very grave cholera risk in those situations. There is a cholera epidemic started, I think, some time ago in Western Africa, around Sierra Leone, in big urban areas. I think the risks are much larger when we look at the future, where we have such great part of the population in urban areas.
Can I just...
Well, yeah, please, sorry. Kate.
Yeah, I was just going to... I don't think it's any coincidence that it affects women and girls and that it's also a taboo issue. And it's astonishing, really. There's just not enough money for sanitation, and it's not spent in the right way quite often, even though there are some quite simple solutions. It's challenging in urban areas, as many people were saying, but in rural areas it's easy, and sometimes it's as much as showing people how to wash their hands. And the sanitation MDG in 2000 was actually almost put in as an afterthought. And so really what needs to happen now, and what's so great about the Deputy Secretary General's initiative, is much more attention on this as a key factor in helping people out of poverty and for health and education. And in the new structure, whatever happens after 2015, it can't be an afterthought. It needs to be right there, front and centre.
Thank you.
Tim Richard from AFP. Sorry, just to follow up on Neil's question, and partly you've answered that, Kate. What is your call to action? I mean, are you looking for people to talk about defecation-free zones, or do you want cash from governments?
Well, it varies. It's a first of all, it's a call to a higher priority inside our United Nations. Of course, there is a resolution which asks for a sanitation drive. We are now showing that we are serious about that sanitation drive. It's also a question of sending the message to the member states that investments in infrastructure, investment in sanitation, are investment in health. And one of the best examples of what we could do was last year when I was at the World Bank, and the World Bank and UNICEF and WaterAid under the project Sanitation and Water for All met a great number of finance ministers at a meeting right before the spring meeting of the World Bank. So we could then sit in front of the finance ministers and infrastructure ministers, some of them, and bring out the case for sanitation and water. It was one of the best meetings that I can recall, and we are very glad that by that meeting the World Bank now has also given water and sanitation very high priority. And they will replicate this meeting of last year by having a meeting now on the 19th of April in Washington, back-to-back to the finance ministers, on financing for sanitation. So there is an energy given into the whole system. And then, of course, we know that WaterAid will run with the baton, and the member states will now be bringing up these issues, facing the discussion of SDGs, where Ambassador Caressa plays a very important role. And I would hope that water and sanitation, with all these aspects, will figure very much when we chart the road ahead post-2015. So it's a mobilization and call to action on different levels. As I say very often, nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. And that's what we're going to try to prove. We have a big battle. We have an uphill battle. You know, it is lagging so seriously that by the present pace, we would finish by 2075. And there are even more pessimistic prognostications. So I have no illusions that we will. Well, I have illusions. Yes, we should succeed.
Is it the most expensive goal?
No, I haven't thought about that. What do you think? Is it the most expensive? I don't.
Expensive goal.
I think we.
Sustainability in number 7 altogether is pretty expensive.
Certainly, more money will be very, very much needed and very much welcome. But we have two other problems which could indicate also where we can find the solutions. First, in many countries where the open defecation is still a problem, you find regulations on the clean water, but you don't find regulation on the sanitation.
That's right.
If it is decoupled, it is a problem of management, problem of governance. And the second, in many countries where the access to water was solved in the last 10 years, sometimes it was solved on a humanitarian basis, sometimes it was solved on a market basis. But the market is decoupled. While there is an investment on the access to water, where roughly every invested dollar brings you a benefit of $2.5, and there is no investment into the sanitation, where every invested dollar brings you a benefit of $5.5. Mm. What is the reason? Mm. A united market, a united concept is decoupled. It's an artificial thing. We have to put an end to that.
Thank you. You've actually both addressed my question, but I would love to highlight maybe a point to that. The importance of partnerships, you know, is obvious and commendable. But from what you're sharing and having this be such a lack in the MDGs to 2075, for example, across the board, it really seems that it is a basic human right, that it seems that the education should probably be to some of these governments, right? And the focus should be maybe some sort of, I don't know, regulation reform, if you will. So what is the call to action to governments, if I can hone in on Tim's question and just kind of really spearhead to that? What is the call to action to governments on really changing people's lives on the ground? Shouldn't the governments be spearheading something like this, like a social protection floor?
Member state question.
That's what we are doing right now.
Now, education is absolutely crucial, not least on the last part of the wash, hygiene. But, of course, if you don't have water, it's harder to exercise that hygiene. But only the knowledge that, an infected finger, when a woman gives birth, there's a direct relationship between lack of water and maternal health. Lack of water in the situation of giving birth is extremely, extremely serious. And generally, I'd like to say, well, these MDGs are great. They have been quite a good instrument, both for us on the global level, but also on the national and local level. But there is something that doesn't come out right with having eight silos, so to speak. It is the interrelationship between them. If we do water and sanitation right, we could have a tremendous decrease of child mortality. Number four, isn't it? Mm. We get an improvement on number five, maternal health. We get an improvement on gender equality because the women and girls pay the price, as you said, Kate. Education, number two, because they can't go to school. Extreme poverty, number one. So, and of course, number eight is partnerships. So partnerships should be a vehicle to mobilize. But we should also remember that these goals are interrelated. And water and sanitation, I think aside from education, which has exactly the same dynamic effect in all directions, is the best example of seeing the interrelationship. That's why this is good also from the point of view, if we succeed, maybe with your help also, to mobilize on this issue, we can do something which is important in today's world. So many people feel, oh, the problems are too big, stop the world, I want to get off, turn off television, I can't see it. But if you say, if you move on this issue, water and sanitation, open defecation, hygiene, then you can make a difference. And by that, you can reach out to all these other aspects of what we are trying to achieve in the United Nations. So it could also be a way of identifying a very concrete, striking area of action which would have effects on other aspects of poverty as it is in today's world, but also perhaps lift this sense of hopelessness or helplessness. Yes, here is a good mission. Let's go for that.
Thanks again to all our speakers, and thank you all for coming.
Thank you.